I'm really trying to find ways that I can feel your presence. So that's why I said hello, particularly to a few of you at the beginning. That helps me to really feel that you're here with me, and I appreciate that. So today we are going to be commemorating Buddha's birthday. We're a little late for our tradition, but there's other Buddhist traditions that celebrated in May, so we could think of it that we're also early. So I would like to, I'd like to start out by reading a case from Dogen's extensive record, the Eihei Kuroku. So Zen Master Dogen is the founder of our lineage, Soto Zen lineage. And he lived in the 13th century in Japan. And this is a big book of his, some of his talks, and they're very short. So this one is called Case 124, A Good Time for Zazen. He says, "These days are a good time for Zazen. If you pass this time vainly, how can you have full strength? If you have no strength, how can you fully engage and affirm the way? Borrowing energy from this time, we can easily cultivate the way. Now the spring winds are a whirlwind, and the spring rains have continued for many days. Even this smelly skin bag born from our father and mother cherishes this time. How could the bones, flesh, and marrow correctly transmitted by Buddha ancestors despise it?" After a pause, Dogen said, "In spring, beyond our own efforts, a withered tree returns to life and flowers. For 9 years, unknown by people, how many times did he cross the desert?" So I would say these days are a good time for receiving our life just as it is. But it's hard. We want to know what's going on. We don't like waiting. Some of us are having a difficult time being alone and isolated. And some are having difficulty getting along with the people that we're sheltering with, maybe sometimes more than others. And some may even be in an abusive or unsafe environment and feel trapped. These current circumstances in the global pandemic limit our choices and add an extra layer of challenge. And even if we're in a so-called good situation, we may feel discouraged. And also, you might be hearing messages like this. Now, these are some messages that I've heard. "These days are a good time to write that book, clean your house, take up a new project, get organized." And I'd say, if you've done any of those things, okay, good for you. But many people find it's hard to get motivated. And why is that? I think that our strength may be depleted because we're swirling in the whirlwind of so many unknowns. And if I could paraphrase the first line of Dogen's fascicle, so remember the first line was, "These days are a good time for Zazen." If I could paraphrase it, I might say, "These days are good for nothing." So you can take that a few different ways. But one way to take it is, you don't have to do all these projects. You don't have to do all these things. you can just do nothing. So as we're celebrating Buddha's birthday today, I've been thinking, these days, in the time of the global pandemic, it's like the whole world is pregnant, and we don't know what we might give birth to or when. So in this time of pregnancy or gestation, many different things may be developing and growing, but we don't know yet what will actually be born and what things will look like on the other side of this. Some things we do know, like more people than usual will die, and we might be coming to know as we read that if our loved ones become ill with COVID-19, we won't be able to see them. Unless we're, because then we'd be at risk for getting the disease and spreading it. And also, if we become ill, we'll be separated from those we love. I'm hearing these stories from my colleagues who are in more of the hot zones right now, and it's heartbreaking. So it seems that the things we know don't help to alleviate anxiety. At least some of these things that we know don't help. So perhaps our path as Zen practitioners is asking ourselves, can we receive whatever feelings are arising from the reality of the things we know? And can we be with whatever is arising as we face the realm of don't know? So maybe we answer these questions with a no, I can't receive these right now. And we can try to practice escaping from these things. Sometimes we might need to binge watch or engage in some other activity as a means of getting a break from it all. However, if we only try to escape, we will likely find our strength is depleted. Dogen says, if you pass this time vainly, how can you have full strength? If you have no strength, how can you fully engage and affirm the way? So when we practice Zazen, when we practice sitting meditation, we practice being present with what is. And perhaps for some of us during this time, we can only sit for 5 or 10 minutes at a time. Perhaps for some of us, our Zazen is taking the form of mindful walking outside or some other kind of activity that involves movement as well as stillness. But really the point is, how can we regain our strength? Dogen also tells us, borrowing energy from this time, we can easily cultivate the way. So what does this mean, borrowing energy from this time? I think it means if the sun is shining and we feel lifted up, just go with that. If we are heartened by the warm spring breeze or seeing the buds burst from the trees or flowers bloom, just take that in. So we don't have to take in only the sadness. And borrowing energy from this time can also mean that we look deeply at everything that is happening. It's true that many sad, frustrating, and even immoral things are happening. But those are not the only things that are happening. My friend Ben Connolly, who's a priest at Minnesota Zen Center in Minneapolis, he mentioned the other day, many people all over the world are drastically changing their lifestyles in an effort to help and take care of others. So that's kind of huge when you think about it. People all over the world are making a change in their life. And I know that some of them are staying home out of fear for their own lives, but many are staying home as a gift to their neighbors and friends and family and community. And as Onryu would say, this is no small matter. So I'm heartened by some of the stories, like the story of the RV rental business that donated RVs to healthcare workers and first responders who need a separate place to stay in order to protect their families. So there was one story from that of a firefighter who said, was so grateful and told this business owner, "Oh, this is wonderful. I'm really happy. And I don't want to hurt your business. So please, if there's someone else who needs to rent this and you can make some money, just let me know and I can give it up." And the business person said, "No, I've set aside a certain number of RVs to donate. And so this is yours for as long as you need it." I'm also heartened by businesses that are retooling in order to sell or donate personal protective equipment, and by the people making masks at home to donate. And there are really many examples of positive things that are happening in this time of don't know. And we can borrow energy from that in order to engage our practice and cultivate the Buddha way. So what is cultivating the Buddha way? Cultivating the way means practicing letting go of attachment to a separate self. It means practicing a realization that all conditioned things, our bodies, our family, our society, are impermanent. Cultivating the way means cultivating seeing that there is a bigger picture of profound interconnection in which we're participating, this bigger view that is beyond birth and death. So this is a good time to cultivate that. Dogen tells us, "Now the spring winds are a whirlwind, and the spring rains have continued for many days." So how about that snow this past week? So this is also part of spring. Spring doesn't come all at once. It isn't only warm breezes. It's also storms and whirlwinds. But when the rains and storms come, we know that things are about to be born. Dogen says, "Even this smelly skin bag born from our father and mother cherishes this time." So this is sort of a classic metaphor or classic way of describing the human body, which is a little derogatory of the body. And just to say, the reason people talk like this is to offset an unhealthy attachment to our own bodies. So it's not to say that our bodies are bad. It's just to say, hey, don't get attached. But, you know, I would say if he were alive today, maybe he would say something like, "Even this old curmudgeon cherishes this time." Or he might say, "Even though I'm impermanent and will die someday, I still appreciate the spring. I still smile at the spring." And he also says, "How could the bones, flesh, and marrow correctly transmitted by Buddha ancestors despise it?" So the bones, flesh, and marrow, this is a reference to the transmission of the teaching from Bodhidharma, who was the first ancestor who came from India to China. The Bodhidharma transmitted the teachings to his four disciples, and he said to each of them in turn, "You have my skin," and then to another one, "You have my flesh," to another one, "You have my bones," and to the other one, "You have my marrow." So that's how he said it. Basically, my whole self, all my teaching, right down to the marrow, is transmitted. And Dogen has talked about this at other times. There's some teachings who say, okay, the one who got the marrow, was the one who really got it, the most important disciple. But I love that in other places, Dogen points out, you know, the skin is just as important and the flesh is just as important. And you need to have bones in order to have marrow. So basically, they all received the transmission of the teaching from Bodhidharma. And so what is Dogen saying when he says, how could the bones, flesh, and marrow correctly transmitted by Buddha ancestors despise it? I think he's saying that the Zen ancestors cherish this time of transformation in spring. They don't despise it. So sometimes we think about or imagine the Zen ancestors just sitting there still, unmoved by anything, not allowing any positive or negative in, just sitting like a dead tree. And he's saying, no, they don't shut out the spring. They cherish it as well. They don't despise the blooming into life, and they don't despise the spring storms that help to bring the blooms. Dogen also says, in spring, beyond our own efforts, a withered tree returns to life and flowers. So this is not to say that we don't make an effort to practice, or that we shouldn't make an effort to practice. But what it is saying is that when things transform, it is really beyond our efforts. There's an element of effort, and there's also an element of just waiting and allowing things to unfold. And I really feel like in many ways, that's what many of us are doing right now. So some of us are working really hard, especially the healthcare providers. So they don't have time to be sitting and waiting. But many of us are not there. And so what we're doing feels like waiting. And we can make an effort to practice, but then we can't make it happen. We can't make the transformation happen. It's just like when a woman is pregnant, she can't make the baby be born. Just have to wait till it happens. Maybe there's some way to induce it, but I'm using it metaphorically, so to say. No, you wait. So Dogen's final line is, for 9 years, unknown by people, how many times did he cross the desert? So this is a reference again to Bodhidharma, who crossed the desert from India to come into China. And some time ago, we talked about this particular fascicle in our teacher study group at Clouds, and there were some ideas for what this line could mean. So one idea was, probably there were many times that Bodhidharma had enlightenment experiences while he was practicing Zazen, sitting in a cave for 9 years. That's the 9 years. It's said that when he first came to China, after a disappointing meeting with Emperor Wu, he went and sat in a cave for 9 years. So for 9 years, unknown by people, how many times did he cross the desert? So enlightenment after enlightenment after enlightenment happening, still sitting in the cave. And another idea was that crossing the desert multiple times, how many times, was bringing the Dharma to many people, crossing again and again and again, bringing the Dharma. But I find myself, when I read that line today, I find myself drawn more to the first part of that sentence, for 9 years unknown by people. So again, I feel like we're really living in the time of unknown. And I think it's helpful if we keep coming back to that. Because if we can live in the unknown, then we are open to whatever arises. So it's not like we try to get ourselves stuck in the unknown, but really being present to the unknown, and then we can really clearly see and receive what arises with equanimity. So even though this gestation of the global pandemic is not over yet, even though it's not yet time for giving birth to whatever is to be born, today we're celebrating Buddha's birthday. So I'd like to finish up my talk with another Dogen fascicle, also from the Eihei Kuroku, the Dogen's extensive record. So this one is case 76, and it's titled A Tired Infant. And he gave this talk on a Buddha's birthday. I think I read it was 1242. For a long time in the entire world, the sky has been getting brighter. Today, in heaven and earth, the radiance is clear and beautiful. Walking around for 7 steps, the baby Buddha exhausted all his energy. Observers of this scene cannot avoid laughing. So I'll give you a little background on that from some of the footnotes. So first of all, the characters for heaven and earth that are in this fascicle are the names of the, it's for those of you who are into this, the names of the first two hexagrams in the I Ching. And they're also called creative and receptive, or yang and yin, or sun and moon. So this, to me, looks at the receptive being the, you know, the unknown, the gestation, the pregnancy, and then the creative being the birth and what appears. So for a long time in the entire world, the sky has been getting brighter. Today, in heaven and earth, the radiance is clear and beautiful. And then this next line, walking around for 7 steps. So there's, you know, there's the story that we usually tell on Buddha's birthday is when he was first born, he took 7 steps. And then he said, I alone am the world honored one. So that's the story that we usually tell. And I'm sure it's apocryphal. But anyway, it's still kind of a nice story, and it's a teaching story. But there's another story that says, after he did that, after he took the 7 steps and then said, I alone am the world honored one, after that he didn't walk or talk until he was 3 years old. So it's like he was born and he expressed, and then he sort of went back to gestation for 3 years. And Dogen is kind of playfully teasing the baby Buddha, saying, okay, he walked around and said this, and then he exhausted all of his energy, and observers of the scene cannot avoid laughing. And I was kind of thinking about how sometimes that is with babies when you see them do something. And sometimes they'll do this. They'll like be, you know, sort of very animated, and then all of a sudden they just take a nap like immediately. And so it's, people are delighted by that, seeing that kind of behavior. So I'm thinking that for me, that story is, helps us to remember that even if, even if something happens, like we're celebrating the Buddha's birth, we're celebrating that creativity, that energy, we can still return to a kind of gestation by not talking or walking for some time. We can still return to Zazen. We can still return to not knowing. And we can go back and forth from that. So again, and that's also similar to how many times did Bodhidharma cross the desert? So we can go into our expression and then return to not knowing, silent sitting, waiting. So I would like to open it up to questions and comments for about 10 minutes. And then hopefully we'll have some more families with kids joining the call so that we can do our creative celebration and commemoration of Buddha's birthday. So first I'll just say if you have a question, you can either just unmute yourself and ask it or you can write a note in the chat box. So please, thank you very much for listening, and I welcome your comments.
Good morning, Sosan. Dick McMullen here.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. I have a quick question. I'm not clear on what Dogen meant by the word strength. Do you have some thoughts on what strength means in the context of our practice? Thank you.
Well, I think about what it means when we don't have strength. So not having strength in terms of practice might mean I just don't feel like I have the energy to sit Zazen or to be mindful or to be really present, to bring my whole body and mind to the situation that I'm in. So to me, that's like a lack of strength. So strength would mean that I actually do have the energy to engage in the practice in that way. And I've really noticed that there's a lot of people who are feeling really dragged down by the circumstances of this pandemic and what we're needing to do in order to mitigate the transmission of the virus. And so I really liked the Dogen's suggestion that we can borrow energy from this time in order to have the strength for practice. So. Anyway, that's what I think about it.
Good. Thank you.
Hi.
Hi.
I was thinking that, you know, when Shakyamuni took his seven steps or others of us make a great effort, it's just as important to have rest, to rest and to completely rest and let go and maybe regain our energy and our strength.
Yes, I think that's wonderful, and maybe perhaps that's why that other story emerged about Shakyamuni Buddha not walking or talking for 3 years. Maybe that's sort of a message to us, like, hey, you can rest, you can deeply rest. You can also feel free to make a comment about how you're doing that may or may not be related to my talk or another kind of a question.
So, son, I'm finding that I have this little demon that tells me every time I have a sore throat or something, this is it. I just put a cough drop in my mouth. But now, this is not an unusual thing, but I feel like I'm a hypochondriac, even though I'm being careful. And I think that's probably a feeling a lot of people have. When is it going to come for me? Mm-hmm. And I really don't know how to deal with it except just go one step at a time and see what happens. But and be careful, of course. But that's just a comment.
Well, thank you for that. And actually what it makes me think of is a practice that was that I learned from Stephen Levine, I think that's his name, who wrote a book called A Year to Live. And there was a chapter that very much inspired me called Dying from the Common Cold. And in it he said, when we get a cold or some small ailment, that we just practice, well, what if I was dying from this? Can I be present with what's going on in my body? And can I be present with the reality of the impermanence of my body? Can I use this this situation in a way that really helps me practice? So rather than trying to avoid it or, you know, jump to worry, to just say, okay, well, if this is it, then how would I really want to spend my time and energy? And how would I want to align my consciousness? And I found that to be so inspiring. And I don't always think of it when I get a cold or some small ailment, but with something big like this, I mean, I am thinking about it. I've made sure that my will is in order, that my advanced care directive is in order. And that's, you know, that's something also that we can do, like use this time to motivate ourselves to say, hey, you know, I know we hear all the time that our bodies are impermanent. I mean, we know that intellectually, but we usually don't feel it. So we can use this time to actually feel it. And then if by feeling it, we get overwhelmed and discouraged and depressed and depleted, then we have to rest and have a break from it. So it's not like we have to force ourselves to be feeling it 24/7. But if we can borrow the energy from this time to be present with the reality of impermanence, that would be great. So I would invite any of you who want to do that, practice dying from the common cold, or the fact that, okay, yeah, because I mean, yeah, that happens to me too, Taikon, definitely. I have a cough and I'm like, okay, you know, and I, because I'm in pretty good health and I'm on the low end of the age risk, I'm 61, I somehow think, well, probably if I get it, I'll be okay. I don't know that though.
Right.
And so so just being in the don't know is another piece.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. I probably have time for one more.
So, Sun, I often think of using time from a past self or a previous self to help motivate me to move forward on a particular challenge.
Can you say the first part again? Because the audio wasn't really clear.
Sure. I often think of using my own personal strength from the past or the future to power through a particular challenge. Can you suggest a way to pivot to incorporate more of the universe in that? I'm experiencing a challenge with that.
Yes. So in one way, I mean, there's nothing wrong with drawing from your own personal strength from the past or the future, because that's also part of the whole mix. But if you only focus on that, then you're kind of missing out that actually the way in which you're profoundly interconnected with all beings and everything. So I don't know. I mean, I might suggest doing, like if you're walking outside, just looking at the trees and looking at the flowers and really taking it in and seeing what happens. So not trying to force a particular thing, not to say like to the flowers, okay, I want your strength, give me your strength, but more just like receiving and seeing what happens. Because, you know, sometimes you might receive a flower and it reminds you of something sad. And then what you receive is different. And so then you receive that and then you look somewhere else, like at the sky, and see what's there. So that's what I might recommend. Or even just breath, you know, if, and I'm always sensitive, especially now, because some people, if they're sick with COVID-19, have a hard time breathing. So probably doing breath meditation awareness is going to be not as helpful as like just awareness of the body. But if breath meditation is helpful for you, you can see in the way in which the air coming in to your body, your lungs, how that is strengthening. And then you breathe out and let it go. And then that happens over and over. So that's a beautiful way to experience the interconnection. Okay, so I think we'll stop there and do the closing chant. And then we'll do our little ceremony for a Buddha's birthday.
The closing chant is in your chat box.